Traditionally, there's different things that pastors really don't like to preach a lot, and there's others that are so much fun. And there's sometimes you just like, oh, if they don't like it, but we don't necessarily care, you know? This one is an easy one, but it's a hard one. Well, it says that the title is God's Umbrella of Authority. And we're going to talk a little bit about under authority. And to understand under authority, you've got to understand who's the authority. So we're going to bounce around some scriptures today, and nothing new under the sun, but applications sometimes change a little bit. It's always amazed me how many times that God will expand a scripture to me, and then I come back 2 hours later, and he expands it even more in a different direction. It just amazes me. But we're going to start with Matthew 22. And in Matthew 22, we'll do 36 through 40. Nothing you haven't heard before. But before we start it, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you. And God, I just ask that our hearts be open to you. And when I mess up, I ask you to overcome. And when I do it right, I ask you to overcome. And for our hearts, help us to be overcomers. May your word be applied to our heart now and forever in Jesus' name. Verse 36, teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Everything in the law is based on those two commandments. Love the Lord your God. We can do the what's love thing. We can take the Greek word for love and start breaking it down in all of its component parts. That doesn't teach love. It teaches about love. Love, in one case, is a choice. When we were at the Billy Graham School of Evangelism with the Crusade in Anchorage, and you've heard this. I was sitting there and God spoke to my heart. Jay Kessler was speaking, Mr. Youth Minister guy, and he was speaking, and I was bored to tears. And I go, so God, why am I here? And God said, I want to complete you with a wife. And I was absolutely contented being single. I was absolutely, I'm going to use the C word. I was absolutely contented being single and celibate. Absolutely contented. And that's a gift from God. And so I was surprised when God said that to me. But it impressed so much on my heart that I wrote my response in the notebook that we had from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, BGEA. And I wrote down and I said, Lord, you're the God who supplies. Show me my wife. If God said, then it's up to God to fulfill. That night I met Evie on the bus to the crusade from the hotel. Not that she remembers. I made a big impression. Not that she remembers. Yeah. Yeah, what's that? Oh, yeah, chopped liver. Yeah, everybody loves chopped liver. I met her, and so I go, I don't know. Is this God coming through? Well, the way you do that, you talk to him. So I started praying about that. And I believe that God told me that she's the one. And so something birthed in my heart that I didn't know was there. And I just started having love feelings for her. And I did everything I could to meet her. And the mistake is that I did everything I could. That doesn't work so well. So I remember getting up Thursday morning, and I was having my quiet time, which meant I was reading the Bible and I was praying. Okay, quiet time makes it sound holy or something. I'm just talking to God at the and I said, "Well, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. In fact, the night before, Wednesday night, I was determined that when the crusade was over, I was going to talk to her. Except we were the last people to leave the building, the Strangers and I, the last people to leave the building. And so we got back, and it's like way late, and I'm going, I'm not going to drag the desk clerk across the counter and demand to know what room she's in. That sounds kind of bad." So it's that morning, and I did a fleece, and I'm not big on laying out a fleece. And you can look up the scripture reference on that yourself. But what I did do was I said, "Okay, God, if you want me to meet her, can you have her at breakfast at a table by herself?" That's a big deal because there's like 400 and some odd of us there, and there's not that many tables. And I go downstairs thinking, well, that was a waste of my time. And I'm thinking, but you know, I think that God said she's the one, but no, she's not. There she was, by herself, at a table, at breakfast. And we go down, and I asked her if I can sit down with her, and she said yes. And she goes, "Well, where's your wife?" And I go, "I'm not married." But every time that she saw me holding Jesse, little baby Stringer. And I'm standing next to Pat, Mama Stringer. And so she is making assumptions. So I corrected that. And we're sitting there and we're eating. And I said, "Hey, are you going to the lunch, the box lunch for the viewing of the trailer for the Billy Graham BGEA film that's coming out?" And she goes, "Well, I'd really like to, but I didn't have the money to buy the ticket." And I'm going, so that's why God told me to buy two of them. So on Monday, I had purchased, before I met her, I had purchased two tickets because God said. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm walking in. I'm walking in a dual love affair. I am negotiating with Evie. But I'm curled up in the arms of God. And because I'm a coward about these things. You know, I would rather at that point in my life, I would rather play chess than I would talk to a woman. I didn't trust you all, ladies. I didn't trust you. My parents were divorced, and I didn't trust. I stopped dating in college. I just stopped because I felt like I'd been abandoned and hurt but I trust God. I don't trust her yet, but I trust God. And why do I trust him? Because he's foolproof. It's like every time God says it, it's so. Every time. Every time he comes through. Not always the way I want, but he comes through. He honors what he says. It's a huge thing. And so, and I have an ability, and it's called a gift from God. I have the ability to believe God when he says. So I'm going through this, just holding on to Jesus, terrified of this woman. And so we do our thing, and this continues. And most of you know the story about how I stalked her. No, I did not. I just did what God said. Just might have looked that way. Yeah. I sent her flowers, went down to take her out on her birthday. I proposed, and shockingly, she ultimately said yes. That was just later. I said, "Don't tell me now," because I asked, because God said, I was changing clothes in this little room the First Baptist Church, and I said, "So God's, when should I do this?" And God said, "Ask her now," and I go, "Now?" And so I stuck my head around the door. Before I stuck my head around the door, I said, "Evie, you know, God's probably got marriage in store for you somewhere." I mean, she's old. She turned 32 that day. And I hadn't caught up yet. I don't catch up till August 27th. And so I go, and she said, yeah, I think so. And I said, but I think God may have marriage in store for me too. And this is me going, you're the one, but I can't do that just yet. And I said, stuck my head out around the door and looked at her, and I said, so Evie, would you marry me? I said, but don't answer it right now. She goes, you're asking me now? And I said, yes, but don't answer it yet. We need to talk, and you need to count the cost, because you need to count the cost. Because you're just opening your heart. And that means you got to trust. And even if someone breaks your heart, you just keep trusting. You throw it out there again and you trust again. So she says yes later on. We commit it to the Lord. We wake Earl Mitgift up, tell him. He asked if I'm drunk. I couldn't not figure it out. I was not. Well, I told him I was on the new wine. That's Holy Spirit if you need the translation. And God just had done something in my heart about her. And I don't know her, but I love her. And how do you explain that? I go, I can't. But God gave me love for her. But I'm going to tell you, when the scripture says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's what that means. And it's a choice. Is it a feeling? Yeah, there's feelings that tie in with those choices. Because when something happens in your spirit, divine revelation comes, spirit to spirit, Holy Spirit to your heart of hearts. And then you have a will, and you have to make a decision. Is this of God? And if it's of God, you drive your intellect, you drive your emotions into obedience. And no matter what, she holds my heart right after Jesus holds my heart. But she holds it. And sometimes you'd realize we got two type A personalities here. And so that means that sometimes you hear the whoop, and that's the belt sander cranking up. And we can get kind of belt sandery with each other. But I love her. And she loves me. And love covers the multitude of sin. Do you believe God? This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. You should look around the room and you should go, wow, I love these people. There's not that many of us here today. It's easy to love each other, right? There's so few. Just take your shot at it. But you should love each other. And sometimes we'll rub on each other and get a little blister. It's okay. Love covers a multitude of sins. But we have to remember that we love God first, and because we love Him, we can love our neighbors. You can choose to love the normally unlovable because they're also your neighbors. Even the guy that I think was a demoniac that showed up Sunday night outside the building rattling the doors, he's desperately in need of love. The love of God is what will set him free. But he's also got to want that. Do you want to be loved? Are you willing to yield your heart, even if it gets broken? Are you willing to trust? And if it gets broken, are you still willing to trust? Because this is that living sacrifice thing. You're called to be a living sacrifice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice. Romans, right? And that means, when your heart's broken, you yield your heart. And if it gets broken 15 times, you yield your heart. You yield your heart. And sometimes, I will tell you, there's been people that have walked away from the Lord in this church back in the day. And even since we've been here, it breaks my heart. But that doesn't mean that I stop loving. It means that I pray, and it means that I offer my heart, my whole being, as a living sacrifice. You go, well, that's hard. Yeah, try the cross. You know, everything that God is doing, has done, and will do in our lives, it's far more than we'll ever be able to do in service to the King. Then I'm going to move to a different scripture. Let's try, boom, boom. Yeah, we flip over. John 13, 34. Easy and simple. Everything's easy and simple. Remember that. So now, Jesus speaking, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Okay, what's your testimony to the world? Do you love one another? Do you love one another? Good heavens. Don't answer the question to me, but answer it to God. Do you love one another? Wow. Well, I do, but you know, that person wronged me 13 years ago, 7 days and 12 minutes ago. That person wronged me, but I've forgiven them. Really? You have? Wow, that's a good memory of when it happened. Oh, wait, that wasn't the forgiveness that happened. That's when the event happened. Did you really forgive? Part of yielding your heart is yielding everything, that yod word, everything unto God. If you want to walk in submission, if you want to walk under authority, you have got to trust God. And you've got to trust everything that God's doing in your life and the life of your brothers and sisters. Don't have to agree on everything, but you got to love. You've got to love. And again, when we love one another, we prove to the world that we're His disciples. And, you know, I've had people ask me, in Missouri, two pastors came to me, and he goes, how in the world can you be part of the Southern Baptist Convention? It's simple. That's where God put me. That's where God told me. I will tell you, in 1981, in the spring of 1981, the thing I wanted to be least was Southern Baptist, absolute least. And then I moved to Juneau, and I moved to Juneau because God said, and because God said, I moved to Juneau. And I'm in Juneau, and I visited a couple places, and I was just sitting in my apartment and going, God, I'm a failure at this. Where do you want me to be? And He said, First Baptist Church. And I go, really? Really? And so I had visited here with John Lichtenberger. But I came, and the day that I sat down, by the end of that service, I knew where I was supposed to be. So I told him that story, and I said, so I am what I am because this is where God placed me. And then I've had Baptists ask me before, well, do you think those Methodists are saved? And I go, wow, I'm thinking in my heart, you know, those people that just asked me that question, they obviously came in that group that only thinks that Southern Baptists are going to heaven. Wow, I thought it was by the blood of the Lamb and the cross at Calvary, and woo, you know, let me get through this. And I'll tell them, yeah, I know a lot of Methodists and Catholics and Presbyterians and Episcopalians that are saved. I even know some Southern Baptists that are. And we've got to not look, we got to look at the right identifier. Are you a child of the King? Do you belong to Jesus? If you've got that one down, then the rest of it's pretty easy. Because it's not just the people in this room that you have to love so the world knows that you're a believer of Jesus Christ, but it's all of your brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of their denominational or non-denominational name. It's one of the reasons that last year we again started a trend of Christmas caroling in the bars, because it gives us an opportunity to love on the people that are there. I was so blessed that there were so many people in some of the bars that knew the same songs that we were singing. And we weren't doing Rudolph, you know, because it wasn't Santa Claus coming to town. It was the children of the King. And we need to engage. We need to engage the body of Christ, but we need to engage the lost world, all because God says so. And if it breaks our heart, we get a broken heart. It's okay. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Woohoo! You want a model? There's your model. There's your model. We got to see with clear eyes. We got to see with clear eyes that see Jesus. Clear eyes that recognize that to truly love is to obey Jesus. Looking at Matthew chapter 28, I like picking on all this stuff and throwing my markers out. You've probably heard this before. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. The 11 disciples went where Jesus told them to go, and they saw him, and they worshiped, but some doubted. These are the apostles. Some doubted. Some of you may be doubting the message today. Jesus came and told his disciples, quote, Jesus, red letter, must be important. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wow. Wow. Prophecy with promise. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, Jesus also refers all of us who believe as disciples, because we're still in the learning curve. We're still being made over in the image of Christ. But you need to seek him every day, all day. You need to walk in his presence. Woohoo! Did you know you can be having a con? This is going to shock you. You can be having a conversation with John and Ron at the same time, and Jesus can still talk to you. He can talk in the midst of it. He's part of our inner circle. He's part of everything that we do. And don't forget that you love him first. Then you love your neighbors, and you love the people around you. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Everything you do, not because of force, but because of love. Love is our motivation. Moving over to John 6:38. Oops. John 6. Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Jesus is under the authority of the Father, our Heavenly Father. And he said, look, I came from heaven where I was with my Heavenly Father. I came from there to do his perfect will. To do his perfect will. I didn't come to do necessarily what I might want all the time, but I came to do what he says. What he says. And I love it later on in the story of Lazarus. I love it when Jesus looks up and goes, Father, I'm saying this out loud so they'll know that you hear me, but I know that you hear me all the time. Do you know that when you say, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, he hears you. You know that he hears you. Do you know he's present right now, right here, all the time. He's here. So when somebody goes, oh, I sinned, I got to hide it from God, and it's like God could just tap you on the shoulder and go, hey, I'm here. It's too late. I've already seen it. You know what the other part of it is? He goes, but I love you. I love you. I love you. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. John 14:21, excuse me. Jesus speaking, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Okay, one more time. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Does that sound like a promise? The love is a choice, but it's also a response from you to God. It's a living response. You know, sometimes when we sing a song, and we sang a song, and that was nice. Sometimes we individually connect with the Lord. And when we connect with the Lord, we're having that one-on-one worship with God. I come to the garden alone when the dew is still on the roses, and he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. But then sometimes when we sing, we're having a response that's corporate. It's all of us in unity together reaching out to our Heavenly Father who's reaching to us through the person and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron, would you go check on our visitor? Yeah. And this is critically important because that corporate worship is the very, very, very special time when we're in unity doing what we've been called to do that in part we will do in eternity. But now this comes down to the part of the message. We're getting close to invitation. We're not quite there yet. This umbrella of authority thing. If you picture this of Jesus standing somewhere holding an umbrella, there's a lot of room under this big umbrella that he's got. And if it's raining and the rain's coming straight down, you can stand right at the edge of the umbrella and you can look at the rain and you don't get wet. You stick your nose will get wet. Sometimes that happens. My nose sticks out. So you stay dry, so you stay under his umbrella. And when he moves, you move with him. It's really easy and simple. The complexity comes on what other authorities are you responsible to? And you need to stay under. When you're in Sunday school class, you have a teacher in the classroom. You need to stay under the authority of that teacher, so long as they stand under the authority of Jesus. Because sometimes people will take a hike, and then they get wet. You don't have to go get wet with them. But so long as they're under authority, you must stay under authority. And this applies. Okay, I'm going to pick on the Marine in the room. Okay, it's easy. This is the part. If you were in basic and a DI said do something, did you question? You just do. You know, it's just a do thing. I don't know if you understand that, but the conditioning, operative conditioning, and I pick on the Marines because they're the best at it, but the Army does it, the Navy does it, Coast Guard does it, Air Force does it, and it's this thing of you're under authority, and they say do, you execute on it. we give you greater grace. That's our Heavenly Father gives us greater grace. He just says, stay under authority so long as they're under my authority. All authority was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says, Ron, time to execute on this, it's time to execute on it. When he says, Greg, now, ask Evie now. And okay, so would you marry me? You know what that is? What that looks like in real life is you unzipped your chest, you opened it up, you took your heart out, and you go, would you not kill me in the process? But this is what you're doing. You're yielding your heart. Every day you walk around yielding your heart to God, not because he demands it, but because you love him. When Jesus speaks, yes, Lord. And I'm going to tell you, wonderful things happen, whether it feels good at the moment or not. I can tell you, when a person tries to stab you and you catch the blade in your hand and they rip it out, it doesn't feel good, but the end result was pretty spectacular. I can tell you that sometimes you've got to overcome so much in your own being to obey. Because you know what you hate the most? You hate being embarrassed. You detest being embarrassed. And I standing in, I'll share this because it worked out really good. Standing in Wrangell at the airport, waiting for a plane to come in with John Sharp, who's going to lead music at a revival at the Bible Baptist Church in Wrangell. And standing in there, and the plane is a flyby because it's Southeast Alaska and the weather's terrible and we didn't have all the electronics. Probably still don't in Wrangell. And then they do it again, and they miss again, missed approach. And they say, pilot's going to try one more time, and if he doesn't get in, then that's the way it is. And so I do believe. And I said, well, Father, in Jesus' name, is there anything that I should do? And that still small voice of the Holy Spirit goes, command the clouds to roll back. Let's pray like three more times through this. You get the same answer. And then here's the coward. God, can I go outside by myself and do this? He goes, yeah. And I go outside, and there's that cyclone fence, and I put my hand on the cyclone fence, and I look around, so I'm seeing that nobody can hear me, right? And I go, clouds, I command you to roll back in Jesus' name. And the last third of the runway, the clouds go, and the plane comes and lands, and it goes back, and the plane's stuck on the ground for hours, but John Sharp got off, and we went to church. And I'm going, I missed an opportunity of witness. I missed a huge opportunity. But God said, and God did. That's pretty spectacular. That falls under the spiritual gift of a miracle. Wow. Woohoo. Woohoo. Just as powerful. Old lady, big spider bite on her leg, won't heal, hobbling on her cane. And at the end of, she shows up on a Sunday night for service. And at the end of service, her little grandson, who was a wild man, Jack Rady, is running around with grandma's cane. And Jimmy's standing here with his arm around Blanche. He goes, wait a minute, folks, because it was the end of service. Wait a minute. And I want to tell you something. Blanche wants to share something. And she goes, you know that it's really been hard on my leg with that spider bite, and it's just, in essence, the necrosis, the dying of the material was really bad. And she said, I was praying about going to church, and she said, God spoke to my heart and said, Blanche, if you go to church tonight, I'll heal your leg. Conditional promise. And she said, the bandage is off. And she goes, my leg's healed. My leg's healed. Oh, okay. Do you love the Lord your God? Do you love him when he says yes? Do you love him when he says no? Do you love him when he says, well, I'll fix that. Just go to church. Do you love it when you're
another older lady who was just upset about something going on in church. I don't remember what it was. And she goes, "God, what do I do?" And she said, "You know what he said to me?" And I go, "What?" And this is the quote: "God said, cool it, Belle." And she said, "You know what I did?" And I go, "Cool it." And she goes, "You bet. When God says cool it, you ought to cool it." It's miraculous that God wants to speak to us. It's miraculous that we get to walk in the everlasting presence of God. So what he's telling you is, remember that word shalom that we translate as peace? It really means peace comes through everything being in God's order. Perfectly established, the death of chaos, death of the authority of chaos, literally. I want chaos to be broken. I want God's rule to be plain. I want peace in my life. And this comes just by nestling in the arms of God. That's your choice if you want to come up. And while Jason's coming up, I'm going to talk about one last thing in this, and it's called orchestration. And you play in an orchestra. Okay, Treyus plays in an orchestra. You know what that means? Like right now, we have one musician up here. He's going to play guitar and sing, and we're going to sing with him. That's an easy thing. Well, not always, but it is. But as soon as you add another instrument to it, then you got to deal with a thing called time signature. There's timing to all of this. And then you go through, you got the E signature. And good heavens. Now, if you're playing snare drum, doesn't matter if it's in C major or G sharp, it just doesn't matter. But as soon as you have other instruments whose range changes with what you do with your lips, with your hand in the bell, with a trombone slide, with the incredible music that can come out of a violin. But when you start putting all of those together in one lump, everything has to do its part at the right time, on the right note, at the right volume. Like if I said, "We're going to just sing this song staccato," everybody understands what I mean, right? We're not going to sing that song like dot, 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 dot. We're not going to do that. But there may be times where we sing softer. There may be times where we sing louder. There may be times where you hear harmony. And if you look at it individually by yourself in a little room practicing your part, all you hear is your part. But when you take that part and you bring it together, you have orchestration. So staying under God's authority is walking in the orchestration of the music of the universe, is walking in what God has ordained it should be. And so you hear correctly. And you make sounds that are correct and in time. And sometimes I listen to us and maybe we're off a little bit. Maybe you have the unique gift that I have. I can change keys whether I want to or not. Interesting gift. But I know that when I follow, when I submit to the authority on the guitar, I'm going to tell you that there's beautiful sounds that come out here. And then when you have Treyus bringing it into it, and Alani doing her part, and Evie or Cecile on the piano, or you get Clive, and these two voices right here merge so well with each other. And I will tell you that when I'm struggling with key signature, and I'm standing here, he's got it. And it hits the back of my ear, and it's easy to meld into your voice. And I'm thankful for it every time, every time. And I'm going to tell you the advantage of being a front row person is you hear everything back here. And when I say you all are pretty, remember, I'm also an auditory learner. So what I hear from you all is pretty, particularly when it breaks into worship. But there's a key signature in our life. And that's what God's setting in motion. And he's telling you, where the sounds of your voice need to be and what needs to come from your mouth. And when you start blending that with whatever, and so what he's doing with Jake is one thing, and what he's doing with Jane is another thing. But when it's brought together with the rest of us, we've got music. Whew. So what I ask you to do is commit to your part. Well, I don't know what my part is. Well, seek his face and do what God says, but commit to your part. And as we progress over the next few months, we'll talk more and more about the way that God has written this music and the way that we get to fit in. And sometimes it changes. Remember, there's this guy named Jesus, and he's the conductor. He's the conductor. He's the author and finisher of our faith, so he also wrote the music. And our job is to follow that conductor. And if you played in a high school band, not being in time with everyone else will get you attention that you may not want. If you're off key, you'll get attention you may not want. But when it comes together, it's a thing of beauty. So let's stand, and we're going to sing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yield your heart to God. Commit to doing your part.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your